He intended to repeat this maneuver, the full 600 or so meters to the river. About 200 meters short of the river, Winter's unit reached some factory buildings. German artillery had started to work. The SS troops, desperate to get to the ferry, mounted a 75-man attack on the right rear flank of the Americans. Winters realized he had overreached. It was time to withdraw to be able to fight another day. The unit leapfrogged in reverse back to the dike. Just as the last men got over the dike, the Germans cut loose with a terrific concentration of artillery fire on the point where the road crossed the dike. They had it zeroed in perfectly. The airborne men scattered right and left, but not before suffering many casualties. Winters grabbed the radio and called Battalion HQ to ask for medics and ambulances. Doc Nevels came on and wanted to know how many casualties. "Two baseball teams," Winters replied. Nevels knew nothing about sports. He asked Winters to put it in clear language. "Get the hell off the radio so I can get some more artillery support," Winters shouted back, "or we'll need enough for three baseball teams." Just at that moment, Boyle heard some mortars coming. You could tell they were going to be close. Boyle wasn't moving too fast as he was exhausted, a result of a less than complete recovery from his wound received in Normandy. I pitched forward on the dike. A shell hit just behind me on the left and tore into my left leg from the hip to the knee, and that was it. A terrible blow, but no pain. Just before he lost consciousness, Winters tapped him on the shoulder and told him he would be taken care of. Guarnieri and Christensen cut his pants leg off and sprinkled sulfur powder on the horrible wound. Most of the flesh on Boyle's left thigh had been torn away. They gave him morphine and got stretcher-bearers to carry him rearward. Webster, alone, was trying to cross an open field to get to an aid station. He was crawling along a cow path, lower than he had ever gotten in training, crawling through mud and cow dung. He ripped his pants on barbed wire fence. On the far side, he risked getting up and limping the last 100 yards to safety. A German observer saw him and called down some 88s. Three explosions, one on each side, one behind, made Webster feel terrified and self-conscious. He managed to get out of the field before the 88 completed the bracket. Some F Company men helped him to a road junction. Two medics with a jeep coming back from the dike picked him up, laid him across the engine hood, and told me to relax. They said we would be going fast because the man on the rear stretcher, Sergeant Boyle, was badly wounded and in need of immediate medical attention.